Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm just sending this text. Gerard, I'm good. I wanted to. I had a really warm experience yesterday. Not weather wise, it's a little chilly here. I just had a sweet thing yesterday. My mother-in-law lives in an independent living facility 6 minutes from us. It's between her, my wife's mom, and my mom, who's also 6 minutes away. We see them every weekend, one or the other. And so she was over. She's 85, ovarian cancer survivor, recent knee replacement surgery recoverer. She walked in the house. I was, of course, watching an NBA game. This was the afternoon. My game was just about ending when she came over, and my wife went to pick her up. And apparently she walked in and she uses a cane. She uses a walker also at her house, but she has a cane. And she did a little Willy Wonka. She didn't do a somersault. I didn't see any of this, but when my wife first said she did a Willy Wonka, I said, your mom did a somersault? We have a concrete floor. I didn't think she would do a somersault. She said, no, but she kind of did a dance when she put her cane down. She's feeling so much better pain-wise. She looked just beautiful. She's 85 years, almost 86, in March she's 86. And so anyway, during dinner, I showed her a picture that I found the other day, the very first photo of Chrissy and I, October, this is probably first week of November, 1987. So she was 19, I was 22. We had just started dating the week or so prior, 2 weeks prior. And it's a blurry picture because lots of pictures back then were blurry. Man, we had bad cameras. And just the look on her face of just, she said, you look just like your son. Your son just looks like you, which I don't know how true that is. But she just got this great feeling of like, you know, I did it. Like I remember those children. She was like a mom to me when I was in my early 20s. And I'm 59 in 2 weeks now. And I got the sense of, you know, she's not feeling a lot of pain. Her kids are grown. Her grandkids are doing great. It really charged me up a little bit. Like, I love my life. I love what I'm doing. I love watching these guys play and work and all that. And it was just a happy moment.
Circle of life. It is, you know, oftentimes when the older generations see the generations after them, particularly family and where they are and what they've accomplished, you know, over the holidays, right. Is with my partner's parents. And, you know, we're just talking about how that generation, and they're in their 70s, like, they've seen a lot, right? Like, they've been through and seen. Just think about. About how communication has changed so much from the time they were born to now, right? I mean, just these things like that, these markers, and it's really amazing.
Listen, my mother-in-law was, when my father-in-law, who passed years ago, he was in the Air Force. When she was, they were both raised in Owosso, Michigan, very, very rural community in Michigan. And when he was on an Air Force base, I want to say it was Phoenix, maybe it was Tucson. My mother-in-law's first baby was stillborn. This was, you know, 19, probably 61. And they wouldn't even let her hold her baby. Yeah. In fact, her husband wasn't allowed in the room. She never was able to see the baby. And so maybe 10 years ago, my wife had the remains of that infant exhumed and cremated in an urn. I'll cry telling you the story, but my mother-in-law stayed up all night rocking her that urn to sleep.
No, that's...
You know, and she was 70 years old. It was a crazy world back then, and not a very loving one, to be honest with you. And lots of parts, that generation is pretty incredible. The world is so different. It's unbelievable. And they manage my she has an iPhone. And,
well, that's the part that always amazes me. Their ability to use... Yeah. I'm like... iPhones, you used to write letters to talk to people. And then you had a dial-up phone if you had a phone. Like, I mean.
Oh, my God. We found some of those letters when she moved out of her house two years ago. My wife and her sisters went through the house, and found these letters. And incredible. Yeah, it's so different. My mom has gone to, like, I'm sure the Apple Store pants her. Probably a picture of my mom with a big red letter.
Don't let this woman
line
in.
Across it. Because she's gone to those classes. And, my mom has. Alexa in two different rooms, and technology's advanced dramatically, but I'm not complaining about it because I use it all the time for my basketball stuff. I can't imagine what it'd be like. Well, I can't.
Right, it was a lot different when you did it before Synergy and before cell phones.
And I couldn't tell what anyone looked like because I didn't have League Pass HD.
Right.
So light skinned dudes were light skinned dudes. White kids and white kids and black guys. And if you wore a headband of the same skin color, I was fucked. Mark Christie and Kevin Martin were exactly the same on non-HD television. It was very hard. Yeah, very hard. And now it's incredible what we have. And the way we can use synergy. And I can just, in 7 seconds, I can download a clip, share it, take notes. It's just made it so much better. And we'll get into basketball in a second. But it really, it shows you how hard it is to guard these players now. Now, it doesn't help that the referees call the way they're calling things, because these players know so much about their opponent like never before. It's just so easy. And my guys all the time, they'll just be watching clips, whether it's YouTube or Synergy or their own team-owned stuff. They can really get prepared. And so when you think about, I just read an article on Kobe Bryant that we wrote, Henry and I both wrote separately when he died. And the work ethic that he had that I think has really inspired a lot of players even today, very much so today. But they can work so much more efficiently now.
You can study exactly what you need to study. I mean, we won't talk about the specific players that you did this with, but you shared with us on our morning editorial call about the clips you sent a specific player you work with on how to defend a particular player and what to do, because he's going to do this move every time, sit on it and make him go the other way, right? And just the ability to do that, right? Yeah. You could do that in the past, but it would take you probably a hell of a lot longer to get the clips.
I was able to share seven clips of this player's go-to counter, I should say. And it's not a great counter. And it really helped the defender in the game just know exactly what was coming. You're exactly right. It used to be, I mean, I've done this for 21 seasons now. It used to be much harder than it is now. And that's at every level. College is so much better. I was at a college practice this year at FAU where they have this, I don't know, 80-foot screen, some huge screen behind the basket that they can, so they're all just standing on the court looking at this gigantic jumbotron of their next opponent's offensive set. And then they go through their practice and they go back on the screen and look at it. And I spoke to another college coach who's like, yeah, we have the same thing in our practice court. Like, what an advantage that is, too.
Huge. Crazy. No, it's, listen, with technology and the world is better in so many places. And in so many ways, it's just as bad as it used to be or worse. But, you know, such is life. All right, David, we're past the halfway point. The trade deadline is coming up soon. Thought that we would look at drafting contenders in each conference. And, this is not something that we do often here on this show. We thought it would be fun. We talked about it on our editorial call this morning. We never do it. It happens a lot on other shows. We never do it. We figured, why not? Shows do that because it's just fun. And people love drafts, this idea of like, all right, who are you going to pick? And strategy, right? Whoever someone picks first, that means they're off the board. And now it's like, shit, who am I going to go to next to make sure they don't get it? Or do I really think they're going to be very good? So it's a whole little kind of cat and mouse game, and it's fun. So David and I are going to do that with the East and the West. We will pick four contenders each. David will go first in the East, and then we'll go snake. So he'll have the first pick. I will pick second and third. Then he will go third and fourth. I will go fifth and sixth, and then he'll go seventh. Yeah. So first, second, third.
Right. I'm going first. You're going second, third. I'm going fourth, fifth.
Six, seven.
You go six, seven. I go eight. Okay.
Correct.
We both know who's going number one in the East. I'm not so sure that is that way in the West.
No, we probably aren't the same in the West. I think I know who you're going to pick, who you would have picked first in the West if you went first. But we'll get to the West later. Let's start with the East. You are picking first. Who do you got?
We would both pick Boston. And you're going to – I'm going to guess yours. That's really the best part. I'm going to guess
yours. First, let's talk about Boston and why
they're
going to win and all that.
So, first of all, I want to see. I don't honestly know Porzingis' status.
He said the ankle.
He's not out.
He said the ankle's feeling fine, so he should be back soon. He's like, he's not worried about it.
Right. I think it helps that they got their ass kicked by the Clippers. They know this is a team that knows what it takes to make the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, and they know how to win games in the NBA Finals. They won two. They're deep. They play beautiful basketball on both ends. I've talked to multiple NBA players who have a lot of respect for playing the Celtics. I've talked to players who have beat the Celtics. I've also talked to players and they've lost to them. But there is a sameness to what they say about the consistency of which the Celtics shoot the ball the kinds of shots they get aren't always so great in the regular season. It's working great for them, but they're good shots in the postseason because it's what you end up getting a lot because defenses are more prepared. Their defensive versatility is super impressive. I think Joe's got a better handle, Coach Mazzulla, better handle of things, as you would expect a guy in his second year. And he came in last year in such a weird situation, as you remember. It's much more comfortable now, I think. I think Brad Stevens can offer some advice. Tatum, Brown, I mean, Holiday and White to me are this. Actually, it's the other three that I'm more intrigued with. It's not Tatum and Brown. They've done enough. It's the White, Holiday, Porzingis. I really like Porzingis' ability to make plays in the paint for them. I thought it was a perfect fit. And, their bench kind of knows their role. I'm a little worried about them. But after round one, when games are coming fast and furious, I have a concern. I make them favorites. They're not prohibitive favorites for me because I'm worried about their bench. And they still can do a deal. So, I think you would say the same.
Oh, without question. And their profile suggests that, right? They're the only team that's top three in both offense and defense. So they have all the tools you need. Look, we always say this. To win a title, you have to be very good, of course, and you need luck, right? Things have to break your way and not break your way, pun intended, right? No injuries, nothing untoward happening to you is helpful.
Before you pick yours, I want to ask you a question, and I'll say this too. I love when I tell you about defensive versatility, I love that they have four guys that can really guard on the perimeter, depending on who you have cooking. Okay, but now to my question, because this is only appropriate for this team. If we were doing a draft and we could pick a team from either side, are they going number one for both? I would say yes.
They are based on what they've accomplished so far this season and what their profile suggests they could be. To your point about, are they overwhelming, prohibitive? Absolutely not, because I can see a completely healthy Los Angeles Clippers team, which we'll get to when we get to the West, being a real problem for them. And the defending champs are defending champs for a reason are also going to be a problem. Yeah. But that's a different conversation. But yes, I would still pick them one, but it ain't like a landslide. Oh, it's easy. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. All right. Who do you think I'm picking with my two and three picks?
I think you're picking Philly second. And I don't think you're picking the Bucks third.
I am certainly not picking the Bucks third.
Let's go.
Philly for sure.
I think you're going to go. I think you're going to – I want to hear about both, but I think you might sneakily taking the home team there.
See, this is how David knows me so well, because we've done a million of these podcasts. He's like, I know exactly where he's going. He's not a fan of the Bucks, and he's going to pick Philly and the Knicks, and that's exactly where I am. So let's start with Philly first. I mean, if the season ended today, Joel Embiid's the MVP, right? I mean, that's pretty clear cut.
You almost maybe unanimous, probably.
He's a monster.
Unanimous.
Absolute monster. Tyrese Maxey's ascendant, and probably still going up. I love Maxey as a third. Harris as a third. And like other teams we're going to mention, they have pieces and they can make a move if they need to shore up themselves. I like Batum and one of the Morrises and D'Anthony Melton, who's got to come back from an injury. And so, they have pieces, but maybe they want to tweak. And look, Daryl knows if we got a 5% chance, and they probably have more than a 5% chance. I haven't checked Vegas yet, but I'm sure it's more than 5. So he's going to be all in on this. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do something to help shore them up. What worries me about Philly, it's Embiid in the postseason. That's my first thing, right? Like, he has a not glorious postseason past. We've seen it. And how does Tyrese Maxey adjust to being number two on the scouting report? Right, you can't hide behind Hardener anymore. Oh yeah, you're an afterthought. We know you're a big part of this. So when defenses are game to stop you now, and you play teams like Boston, who have multiple wings to throw at you, how does that look this time? Probably more challenging, but still, all things being equal, David, their metrics are incredible. Seventh in net rating, third in net rating, seventh on offense, seventh on defense. I like a lot of what they're doing. Nick Nurse has his issues in Toronto, but clearly he's using Embiid in a way that Doc didn't, and I'm sure we'll get to Doc at some point. So kudos. So that's Philly. The Knicks. Wow. David, this team has an identity. Like, they know who they are. They know how they play. Jalen Brunson's an all-star. I know people are like, oh, he wasn't a starter. He should have been fine. Whatever. He will be an all-star.
Who cares right? about starting? Whatever.
I mean, it kind of does, but it doesn't, right? He's going to be an all-star. That's all well and good. The Knicks are, what do I have on my fifth in net rating, sixth in defense. So I love that. Top 10 in both ends.
But it's better since they got OG.
I'm just going to mention that. OG makes them so much better. He's crushing plus minus since he got over there, which is, of course, no surprise to us. What worries me in the immediate term right now is Julius Randle being out with a dislocated shoulder. If I look back at the most recent people that had that injury, we're looking at least 4 weeks, possibly six. That's going to change some things for them. Remember, they don't have Mitchell Robinson, right? So they have some issues there. Now, when OG was in Toronto, David, we heard that he wanted more offensive juice. Well, he might have that opportunity now with Randle being out for, they have not said how long, but it's going to be, let's put it this way, he ain't going to be back next week. It's going to be some time. So we'll see what can develop there. And we've also talked about this, David, the Knicks since CAA took over, Leon Rose and William Wesley, they're being run competently. They're not doing these horrible deals and swinging in. So they have pieces to make a move. Now, I know that DeJounte Murray is someone, a name that's been thrown out there. Me personally, I don't know that DeJounte Murray makes them that much better because I'm not in love with how he's been playing this year. I wouldn't do it if I were them. And I don't think they are either. But they have pieces that they can do something to help them around the margin. So, yeah, Philly is my first pick and the Knicks are my second.
They would have been mine. The Embiid, the one thing I say about Embiid is he's playing at such a high level. The history of this league is that those players get at least one magical run. KG could never win a championship till he did. And Dirk could never
LeBron
win a championship.
LeBron could never win one until he did. Jordan could win one until he did.
LeBron could never win a championship until he did. Listen, I am old enough to remember, neither could MJ.
Yes.
MJ was just a scorer. He was just a scorer. First, he was a scorer for a bad team. And then he was a scorer for a team that couldn't win a playoff series. And then he was the best player in the world. Like, Embiid is, as someone who tries to diagnose his game for other people to solve, it's impossible. Like, just you have to double. I mean, he's just an unguardable guy. He's Shaq with a jump shot.
Tough.
And more agile even in tight spaces. So I just, it's silly to think, well, he's never done it before. Well, neither is anyone until they do it. Steph Curry couldn't win. Yeah. Come on. So, I think, Brunson has had some great playoff series before. And, I'm going to talk about one player that I think could help a contender. And I said, there's only one team that I like for him. Actually, the Knicks would be the second team. I'll tell you about it later. I like that. So my fourth pick.
Well, you got to go Milwaukee. You got to go Milwaukee now because star power, right?
Gerard.
you're dual to Doc. I know. Gerard. I know. It's Doc. You're not doing it.
Culture eats strategy for breakfast.
You're not doing it. All right. I know where you're going. You can take the Cavaliers, damn it.
They're going to be in. I get two picks, right? So they're in one of my two picks. When you get to Milwaukee, because I'm not going to get to them, and I would next, but after these two, I'll say my piece on Milwaukee. So
You're going to go early on me. Damn it! I was hoping you wouldn't do this.
I'm leaning on the Pacers.
I was hoping you'd see. Here's what I was going
to. I don't have to make a choice between them and Cleveland because I.
What I was going to do was go Philly, Indiana in that last round, but I was like, I can't take Indiana that early. Can I? I should have taken them that.
I would have taken them where I'm taking them now. I had the Knicks above them. I do think playoff experience matters, but I know this. Their style. You can win championships different ways. You can overwhelm teams with talent. Denver last year starting five is just, basically the best player in the world plus four top five picks. And a competent coach and all of that. And some help some other teams being bad. Like Boston being upset and all of that. But you can also win it with system. And I don't know if I said this on Thursday or not, but the Warriors first won with system. Then they got Durant and overwhelmed you with talent and had a great system. The Pacers system is dizzying. It is problematic. Yeah. The speed, and we'll talk about them, the speed at which they play and everything. I think that it's easier to play that way in the postseason because it's just naturally freer. And again, I'm picking them fourth. I'm not picking them, you know, first. And then, yeah, Cleveland's got Donovan, who I think is a real game changer in the postseason. They also have an identity. And they have managed to be really good without Evan Mobley. They've got some flexibility when he comes back as to how they want to play. They've added three-point shooting in Strus and Niang. And Okoro is improved as a player. Darius Garland's been out. Mm-hmm. Like, they still have some elasticity, and they're one of the hottest teams right now. So those are my four and five.
Oh, that makes sense. I was like, man, is he going to go Indiana in this round? And he did. You did. And to your point, like we said about some other teams, they can make a move too. They got stuff. They could still do something else. I know they already got Siakam.
Right.
They could do another one if they wanted to.
For sure. Right. Yeah. To finish that thought, I should have said this. I wouldn't have picked them before the Siakam trade. But Siakam and OG, in a sense, almost ironically, it's not ironic, but it's almost ironic, in that they both came from the same team that wants to be good one day and had both these guys. OG and he are just absolutely scripted, letter-perfect fits for the new franchises. What Pascal does for the Pacers is nothing short of genius. Kudos to the Pacers for getting it done. And so, yeah, and he's won a championship and been in plenty of playoff games. And also carries himself in a way. I heard someone talking last night about, like, he's just so easy to play with on the court, but also off the court. He's no nonsense. He just wants to hoop.
He's an adult. You're an adult in the locker room.
For sure. He's a grown up. Yeah. And there's a vibe about them. Culture eats strategy for breakfast, and culture beats strategy sometimes. They've got something going on there. Rick's obviously a very good coach. He's been masterful lately. They beat Memphis yesterday, missing Tyrese and Miles Turner. And TJ McConnell, who now, so they have one point guard on the roster, Andrew Nembhard, who's a second year player. And Rick did a great job taking Andrew out early, and he brought in Shepherd to play with the starters so Andrew could play with the second unit. Super smart by Rick. Yeah. They're I'm telling you, they are an interesting team. I know we'll get to them.
I like later. That Carlisle, to me, he can. There's no substitute for reference points for young kids, young players, and learning. Right? You just need time and reference points. However, his schematic ability and his knowledge of the game can overcome a little bit of that in the postseason. So I think that's going to be huge for them. All right, David. Under protest, the Milwaukee Bucks,
take Milwaukee,
and the Miami Heat are my two teams. Look, the Bucks are merely here because they have Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton. I like Doc. Doc has been a good coach in the past. We talked about him on last show. We don't know if he'll be a good coach now. We'll find out as time goes on. However, I have seen Giannis dominate an entire postseason run, as have you. So we know that could happen. And I've seen Damian Lillard do incredible things in the postseason. This team still can't guard. And if they plan on doing anything, they better learn how to do that. So unless they fix that end of the floor, I don't really care what they do on offense.
I'm not someone who tends to look at bad things. It's just not my nature. Most scouts would be just the opposite. I don't think that way. However, I can't get over Middleton's playing 26 minutes a game. That tells me something. He's been playing very well. I didn't predict that, but 26 minutes in the postseason is going to be problematic. You know, you want much depth. Lopez, I think, is like 33% from three.
That's a problem.
And then I don't think Giannis and Dame are all in. I think Giannis is just nonplussed about what's happened. He got his money. Well, that doesn't mean you're going to stay there forever. He's got a teammate that has proved it. Dame got paid and then left. Dame's got to be thinking, man, Miami be nice right about now. Miami would be nice. 80 degrees. They just traded Kyle Lowry. They had to take Rozier, who's no Dame Lillard. So they just fired their coach.
Under protest, I don't want to take them, but I took them under protest.
Right. I could talk myself into it. And in 2 weeks or a month from now, we were in the end of February. If it looks like they've figured some stuff with Doc, I'm allowed to pivot. I'm not betting on anything. But yeah, I'm with you. I would have, I ranked them just as.
And then the Heat, of course, listen, first of all, they're in a little bit of a funk right now. Losers of six straight. They play the Phoenix Suns tonight. Look, Spo is the reason why they're here, and playoff Jimmy and Bam and what I've seen them do in the past. This is strictly what I've seen them do as a play-in team. But how they're playing right now ain't good, and they got to figure out some things and fix what's going on in Miami. But, you know, if the choice is between them and Orlando, it's Miami.
Yeah, I feel the same way. They're hunting. They're really struggling right now. They've got some other options they can use that I think they'll do something. But there's history. He just, you know, the same group, they figure stuff out as opposed to some other teams that haven't in the past. Mm-hmm. They have. And last year they were an eight seed, lost a playing game, went to the finals. So, yeah. So the eighth spot, like, it's a punt. Orlando's not winning a championship.
No, but I figured.
They're interesting. They're fun. I don't think Miami's winning a championship either. I don't think Milwaukee's winning a championship. I don't think the Knicks, Cavs, Pacers are likely to win a championship. So Orlando, they're a fun team to look forward to. Jonathan Isaac has been all the rage of his defense yesterday, and they've got some flexibility if they want to do something. My guess is they won't. My guess is they're happy. I mean, I've heard this from agents: make the playoffs, probably lose in five games. But as opposed to years past, where Nick Vucevic was your best player in a sense, they got Paolo and these young guys, and so they feel they can grow. Yeah. That core.
That
so,
team has some juice. I know you're a big fan of Jamal Mosley. He's got them guarding. Like, they can do some, and they're long and athletic. They can do a lot of fun stuff. So I think, to your point, they're probably just, let's just make the playoffs this year, playing, get some experience, and we'll roll from there, which is, you know, better than what they've been in the past. So that makes sense. All right, guys, we'll be back after a quick commercial break. All right, David, it is now time to move to the Western Conference. We're still doing the snake system.
It's very hard.
The tough part about it is that you have to think, okay, if you pick here, what's the other person going to do, right? And so it's like you got to kind of play this game.
Well, I didn't do it that way. I just have my power lineup, and I've done it. You have to understand how many drafts I've done in my life. Drafting players, camps and whatever. So I just have my power list, and when you pick someone, I just
all right, them all. So look. I don't have to justify this pick at all because they are who they are. And it's the Denver Nuggets, defending champions. Nikola Jokic to me is still the best player in the world when he is playing with 100%. And I hesitate to say 100% effort like he's not. Point is, he is not going hard for an MVP right now.
He's not going as that's a better way to say as it. Embiid Correct. Is.
Correct. Yeah. Which is perfectly fine.
Embiid's doing nothing wrong and Jokic is doing nothing wrong.
That starting five we talked about is phenomenal. The bench is starting to do some things that worries me still about them. Can they pick up anybody and help them out? But push comes to shove in a best of seven. I love that group, that five man group. They're going to be tough to beat. So that's my one.
I mean, Jokic is where Embiid is incredible now. He's not been clutch in the postseason. The argument we just made is normally they find a way one time at least, but Jokic has been. Yeah, just super.
He led the entire playoffs in points, rebounds, and assists last year. All of the playoffs.
Yes. Really?
Total.
Total numbers. Average? Total numbers, yeah. Yeah, he played the most games, but still, it's good. Yeah, he's amazing. I thought you'd go Denver
you
first.
You're a huh? Yeah, yeah, try.
I don't know that I wouldn't have, although I probably was leaning to.
Oh, I know what you're picking. This team,
I
of course.
I think the surprise. Well, I rated this team. I rated the Clippers number one, but I don't know if I would have picked them. I think I would have. So, I'll take the Clippers at two. I know you have the Clippers at two as well. They've got all sorts of problem solvers on their team on both ends. Terrence Mann, 50% from three in January, and just has a great vibe about him. They have a great vibe. One reason why I like Indiana so much is when you watch them play, you get this sense of joy they're starting to – like, oh, my God, we're actually good.
Yep.
Like they just beat Phoenix and Philly back-to-back. Like,
without Tyrese, they're having fun.
And Tyrese didn't even play. Right. And so I feel like that's where LA is right now. You're right. Hey, we're pretty damn good, man.
And they are.
Zubac is out. And they drilled
and
Boston.
One of your favorite coaches, Ty Lue, pragmatist. He will try and tinker anything to make it work. So
They've got a renewed sense of vigor, Harden with Zubac, but also Daniel Tyson, Mason and Plumlee. Is it Mason Plumlee? Miles Plumlee? Which one is it? Amazing. So they're three deep at center, and they're a similar guy, similar kind of players. Yeah, I think I think, as we said just now with Embiid, Harden also, mm-hmm. and Paul George, although playoff yeah. P, they call yeah. him. He said playoff P and then not Correct. So playoff P. That's how it is for most people. Right. They're not great every game. But they've got three special dudes. Kawhi himself is a superman. Sure is. So, yeah, that's my two. The three was
I
tough.
I know it was.
Because Denver would have been my second pick. And so I'm not going OKC. Ooh. And I'm not going Minnesota.
Man, you were always going to take my picks. Where you're going.
I watched Phoenix play a lot recently.
I knew it.
And they got beat by Orlando, but I'm telling you, the Indiana game wore them out.
Can see it.
That was the game of the year that I've seen so far, and I've seen, I don't know, hundreds of games. Absolutely scintillating basketball, amazing shot making, and it wasn't like people weren't guarding. They mm-hmm. were. Guys just making, Booker at 62. Yep. Durant was average mm-hmm. with 20. Grayson Allen was terrific. He just struggled to guard Nembhard at the end. I think it wore them down for Orlando, and Orlando is no picnic for one game in that situation. Yeah. So, but yeah, just the Beal is coming. I've watched Beal on tape a lot over the weekend and live. His three-dimensional scoring game mm-hmm. is coming. Booker had 40-something. Yep. He scored 100 points in back-to-back games. Yeah.
David.
Yeah. And then they have a guy named Kevin Durant. Pretty good.
Just quick thing on Booker. His height that he gets on his jumper is fucking absurd. His elevation. I'm like,
yeah, and he's also physical. Like he'll try to bully you, and when he can't, he's got other things he can do. He has more than one way to beat you. I'm a Frank Vogel fan.
Yeah,
I think he's really mm-hmm. solid. Just with that, not that they wouldn't benefit from a Ty Lue or Jamal Mosley, even mm-hmm. the way he's coaching. But I think Frank's good, solid, and he's won a championship. They're starting to have reason to believe. I worry about their bench, and I worry about Josh Okogie and some guys that need to step up. And so that's why I'm not picking about one or two, as good as Correct. Those three guys are. But they're intriguing to me. So that's my 2-3.
This is how I know, David.
You're going to take OKC and Mini. They're good picks.
See, you would think I'm going to do that. I'm taking OKC. I'm taking OKC, yes. I'm also taking the Pelicans at my number two here.
They're on my list.
And here is why. We've seen the Pelicans. So OKC, let me just start with them. I mean, they're number one in the West. I believe they are second in adjusted net rating. I mean, again, this is a young team playing really well. We talked about all these teams that can make moves. Nobody can make a move more than the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, will Sam do
For
it?
Sure.
That's a whole different story, but he could. I just love that the flexibility that team has and what they can do. And Shea is, look, if Embiid wasn't MVP, Shea's the guy. He's just been phenomenal this season. So I love OKC on the Pelicans because I've seen what that team can do in the postseason without Zion Williamson. And Zion and BI to me and Valanciunas, that is a nasty three-headed offensive machine because Valanciunas is grabbing everything at the rim, right? And he can shoot out to 15, 18. He can hit some threes sometimes. We know what BI can do in isolation, and Zion, when he's motivated, it still you can't cover him one-on-one. He's just too fast and too strong, and they can guard. So look, they have a lot of problems. I don't know what ultimately is going on there all the time, but I just like that team. They have, and they can make a move as well. I love what they have over there in New Orleans. So OKC at three, and as my two, and Pelicans at three.
Okay, so that leaves me three choices for two picks of the eight that I have. I'm not going to take the Lakers.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to go with Minnesota. It's a flawed choice. I think that they need Tyus Jones. I've said that all season, to go with Mike Conley, who's not been playing all the time. I don't trust Chris Finch as a coach yet, but he's definitely grown on me.
And you don't trust them because they turn the ball over too much.
they're not good with the ball. And Rudy, Cat, the move made the trade made them relevant. AE's progress mm-hmm. has been very much a part of that. Anthony Edwards. So, and McDaniel's defense, they could win a playoff series. They could. There's no guarantee they will. But if they're, what are they going to be? A three seed, maybe? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think right now they're at two.
It's a half game separating OKC, Denver, LA, and Minnesota. It's all a half game.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, yeah, any of those combinations could work. So, and Phoenix is below below that. Yeah. I they're an easy pick. And then I think I'll go Kings over Lakers. I like Mike Brown better than I like Darvin Ham as a coach. They have a bad taste in their mouth from last year. De'Aaron Fox is truly a remarkable, remarkable player. Keegan Murray's coming as a player. Yeah, they don't want to trade him. Yeah, they're not likely to win a championship, but they also can win a first round. And what's important before you pick the Lakers, which I think you're going to pick. No, are you picking the Warriors? That's okay. That's what I wanted to say. So maybe the Lakers at eight, maybe not in your case, and not the Warriors. That's something. Neither of us believe in either of those teams can make it. Yeah.
Look, the only reason, first of all, I don't like their coach. They have a lot of problems. But I've seen Luka Doncic be a one-man band and carry a team to a conference finals. Well, he has Kyrie Irving, who has been playing. I mean, he's hurt right now, but hasn't been doing anything to get him.
Yeah, when he's been healthy.
That is a tough two-headed monster to try to solve. And they could get on one and get on a heater and find themselves in the conference semis. I could easily see it because who's stopping Luka Doncic, right? Like, besides himself. So, you know, again, do I think they're going to win a championship? Hell no. But I'm only saying because those are two elite offensive talents.
Right. We're drafting eight teams per conference because Henry Abbott told us to draft eight teams. We could be better off probably doing four or five. Although, to be fair, if we had done this a year ago, Gerard, a year ago today, I don't know if Miami even makes our top eight. Maybe they're eighth, and they made the finals. So it's a fair exercise. So no Lakers, no Warriors.
Look, the Lakers, I think they won their championship, David. They won the in-season tournament. I do. I think they won their title this year.
Well, this goes to show why I've been high on them. They did win the in-season tournament. They did make the Western Conference Finals a year ago. Nothing against Darvin Ham. He's allowed to continue to get better as a coach. He just wasn't the right guy for the job, in my opinion. I feel like when you can win the kind of games they've won over the 2 years and yet aren't even a top eight team in our view, and we're picking the Pelicans over them and the Kings over them
and the Mavs,
Dallas over them, who I don't remember. I've done a lot of research this morning. I don't remember if it was the last 10 games, last eight games, but there's some stretch here of games where Dallas is dead last in defense. And yet you pick them over the Lakers. So it just goes to show that they have the talent. They've just not been able to put it together. And they could do a deal. People think they will. Russell may get traded. Maybe they get Conley. I don't know what they might get Conley. They get someone. But I don't think
it's gonna matter. All right. That was fun. I like that. Just to recap. All right. So in the East, David has the Boston Celtics, the Indiana Pacers, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Orlando Magic. I have the Philadelphia 76ers, the New York Knicks, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Miami Heat. In the West, I have the Nuggets, the Mavericks, the Pelicans.
New Orleans Pelicans.
And the Thunder. And David has the Clippers, the Wolves, Phoenix and the Kings. So there you go. One of those 16 teams we mentioned, one of them we feel pretty confident will win the NBA championship.
Yeah, 99% probably. Right. We really wrote it down.
We're really good at this. All right, David, I want to dive a little bit deeper on the Pacers. You talked about them this morning on our editorial call. Their style of play is difficult to deal with, obviously, because of the pace they play. They got Pascal back, who's giving them a little bit more of a defensive identity, along with Andrew Nembhard, who also guards well. I also think, David,
and Nesmith,
can't forget about him. That style and that pace, I think also, David, forces your opponent to play sped up out of their comfort zone and leads them to causing turnovers and mucking up when that's not what they want to do because they don't play that way. But what do you like what you see from Indiana?
Well, not just the turnovers, but it's just fatiguing. It wears you down. It's not about just the physical racing. It's the mental toll and the emotional toll of how fast Indiana plays. And what's interesting too is they play they move the ball better in the half court when Tyrese isn't there, so the ball flies around much better. I am not suggesting it's a better offense; it's not. But so you've got to deal with Tyrese when he's in the game, and then when he's out of the game, if they play the way they just played these last, they went 3-3 on this last trip, 3-2 without Tyrese, 0-1 with him. They lost at Portland with him, but it was his first game back. Although he was pretty amazing, and he had like 21-12 with no turnovers or whatever it was. Pretty incredible. And he wasn't even great. I thought he could have played better, and it's still pretty amazing. So, yeah, they're just the withering. The Suns collapsed. The Suns collapsed. And then Memphis got a little fatigued and enough to give Indiana some margin. Siakam allows players to move down a spot with in their guarding positions, which helps. He's a playmaker. They can throw him the ball in the post and get wide open. Jalen Smith is shooting well from three. Obi Toppin is shooting really well from three. Miles Turner shoots the three and well, I don't know, but really well. And can get off a little bit. He didn't even play last night against Memphis. And he just triggers the help and passes the ball so easily. He runs all day long. They've got a lot of players. Ben Shepherd comes off the bench for them and plays defense.
TJ McConnell didn't play last night. I like him a lot.
And a 6'7" guard that plays hard. And, you know, I'm not sure how much he plays in the playoffs, but he can eat up some minutes now. McConnell is a game changer, a pace changer as the third string point guard. Nembhard really kind of, I think in the last three games, he has something like, I have to do the math, maybe 25 assists and 3 or 4 turnovers. One of those games, he had 6 turnovers. The other two, he had 1 each. So, but he's starting to get healthy again. Mm-hmm. Defense is unbelievable. Nesmith had a big game. Toppin had a big game against Phoenix. I think Toppin's rounding into a 6th man of the year candidate, but so is Ben Mathurin. I don't trust Ben as much. He's a stubborn dude. He saved them yesterday against Memphis early on when the offense was kind of stagnating. Ben made some big shots. They are a team to watch these next 4 or 5 years because they can get much better. And they have room to trade guys and even sign guys more. So they are a serious team.
I love what
to
Pascal
watch.
Does for them too, and that when you put him on the other opposing team's best wing player, you let us send help, right? Like you could leave Pascal by himself, which is huge about not having to send help, right? So that's big.
Yeah, last night against Memphis, Memphis, 2 games in a row, they've gone small with Siakam at the 5. I'm sure national people will start writing about this. Turner didn't even play yesterday, but when they played Phoenix, when Nurkic fouled out, and also before he fouled out, they went KD at 5. And so they just went with Siakam and Obi Toppin. And that allows Obi to get on the court a little bit when he was playing really well. And Pascal, I mean, yesterday was Jaren Jackson Jr. And in the single most important possession at the game's end, he forced Jackson into a tough shot. Jackson missed it. The Pacers got a free throws and Nembhard made him, and that was that. He just is a grown up, and as we talked about, shooting the three much better in the last since like December. He and Tyrese have played one game together and never practiced together. So in terms of elasticity, they can really grow.
That All Star break when they're back, those couple practices they get will be helpful and instrumental for them for sure.
Well, and Tyrese is already voted as a starter with Randall being hurt. Siakam has a chance to be an all-star with that team, the way that they're playing. The numbers are there, and the game's in Indiana. And so the reason why that's important is they might actually get some work in together, those two. Otherwise, Pascal will probably go on vacation somewhere. Tyrese is going to be in Indiana. But while they're there, they can get in their facility and just practice and work on the same thing Harden did with Zubac and those guys, you can do the same thing.
The other team that we want to talk about here is the Clippers. You've been high on them for a while now, and they could be the one seed. I think we said that 2 weeks ago. It's possible. They're right. They're half game back. They're right there. Kawhi is playing like an MVP candidate. Paul George is playing well. Harden, we talked about. Zubac is hurt right now, but Daniel Tice and Plumlee are playing well. Terrence Mann, the list just goes on and on. This team is just solid in there. They can defend. They got versatility. Woo, I love the Clippers.
Ivaka's out right now. And so they're having to play their backup bigs. And 8-2 last 10 games, right? That's working for them. They've got, you know, those amazing players, but they also have Terrence Mann's going to play a great one game, and he's shooting great. And then Norman Powell, you know, can get cooking. But when I watched them, I just watched today, the fourth quarter against the Celtics, where they just rubbed them without Porzingis. They're just hustling. You're getting a decent shot. You're not getting a second shot too much. I looked up some numbers here. They're running. They're fifth in fast break points their last 10 games. They're fourth in opponents' points off turnovers because they're fourth in turnovers. So the Clippers are getting a shot more than 25 other teams. They're getting just getting possessions. And with the kind of talent they have, you know, they tend to make those kind of shots. And they're fourth in field goal percentage in the last 10 games. And they're second in three-point percentage. So, and they're getting a lot of attempts, and they're making a lot. And they're hustling, and Westbrook's challenging people and chasing people around. And they look like a cohesive, connected, glued together team that has three very, very special offensive talents. And a coach that knows who they're doing. Yeah, they're here for the long haul.
For sure. I like what I'm seeing there. Imagine if it's a Clippers Denver conference finals. Woo! That would be fun. A team that we did not pick, either one of us, and we talked about it, the Golden State Warriors. I mean, you've already argued that, look, man, you gotta trade Steph. It's time to this is over. Something interesting I noticed since Draymond's been back, the Kuminga Wiggins minutes, which while Draymond was out on suspension, have been abominable, according to Plus Minus. Draymond's really turned that around. No surprise, because he's incredible at basketball. And I wonder, with that sort of, remember, he had this suspension and he had the earlier one. Does that sort of break and rest he had early in the season, is that helpful? Does that make the Warriors, or is it fool's gold? The Warriors think, oh, look, we're good now, and now we're going to ride this train going forward. Does that help them, or are we still like, nah, I don't think this team does much of anything, despite how good Draymond's made Kuminga and Wiggins' minutes been?
It's a bit of both, but I would lean towards them recognizing what their faults are. Draymond is just such a great facilitator. He also is smart in that he's looking for Curry all the time. He's creating for Curry all the time. And then he's reading the game. If defenses are extending to take Curry away, well, then someone else might be really open for a three or a layup or a dunk. And then defensively, his voice, his basketball IQ, his toughness, all that matters. There's a reason why he was a plus-minus monster for so long for Golden State. That being said, I don't know if it matters.
I agree.
I would argue that it's very overwhelmingly likely that it doesn't matter, that they are doomed to be disappointing when the end of the season comes, whether it's you're a play-in team and don't do what Miami did last year. Although we have to allow for that possibility, I think the West is probably a little deeper than the East was last year, but it's just not likely.
They're currently not impossible, three games out of the play-in. And the difference with Miami, Jimmy, it's like Miami gets a top five player added come the postseason. Well, these guys on the Warriors are who they are. Who's all of a sudden going to be that much better come the postseason?
Right.
I don't think anybody, right? They are who they are, I think. So, I'm with you. I doubt anything major happens. All right, Dan, we talked about the trade deadline. You said there's a player out there who might help now two teams potentially, but nobody is talking about him. Who is this player?
I don't know nobody, but I just read ESPN's article where they all did their fantasy trade. So not a trade that will happen.
But what they want to happen.
I didn't love the structure of the article, but still, it put some names out there. Jeremy Grant wasn't mentioned. Ooh. Really athletic, tons of playoff experience, great culture guy, 40% from three.
I like it.
So I found a team in both conferences where I think he would help. The starter or a sixth man. And a deal, at least in the case of the Western Conference team, that I think Portland would say yes to. Do you want to take a guess as to what Western Conference team could pull a deal off and give Portland what they want and have the money to be able to pull that trade off? Because I think Jeremy's like a $27 million. And he's got 4 years left.
OKC? Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking at money. OKC's the only one. Yeah.
No, they can throw on Bertans, which is 17. That gets you going. I'm not at all suggesting it'll happen, but I feel like he's a guy that you can add that if you end up not making it, he's still going to be a good person in the locker room. He's a good player. Jalen Williams has to play the four right now. I bet you can play them together without any problem. And you have to guard him. He shoots it. He hustles. He's athletic. And then you can give them a first-round pick and maybe throw a Trey Mann or whatever for Portland. They may not want to help – Portland may not want to help a team in that division. But And then you started talking about the Knicks, and I thought –
I love it for them.
I don't know if they have a deal. I have to look and see. I haven't looked at the trade machine for a deal. But, yeah, I just thought – I mean, adding depth – a lot of teams can add depth, but they can't make a deal to do it. They don't have anything. I have to look to see what New York would have.
They have draft capital for sure, because they haven't given it all up to because they haven't signed anybody huge. Brunson was a free agent, so
And I don't know who represents. I don't know who represents them, which matters in New York.
Yes, CAA guy. But,
I don't know. I don't follow that. But it's supposed to be a great, great person. Yeah, he could end up being on a team that really.
I like it, Jeremy Grant. No, he's. I'm surprised he wasn't included. Well, this is why I listen to True Hoop. You get insights like that from Coach Thorpe. All right, everybody, take care. We will see you all later in the week. Have a good one.